Hello and welcome to another episode of MetaSidekicks. My name is Liv and this is the podcast where we talk about all things metaphysical, spiritual, paranormal, and in between. As a psychic medium, I know nothing. I talk to dead people, and when it comes to the ideas and concepts and theories revolving around spirituality and all of the metaphysical, I am learning. This is a continuation of last week's podcast where I spiritually inserted my feet into my mouth about astral projection, and this week is where we're going to be talking about my actual understanding now, knowledge of astral projection. That sound effect was more for me than anyone else because I need to hype myself up about this. So I have ADHD, right? Cool. Awesome. Neurospicy. It's fine. But I have not been taking any ADHD medication because I'm still nursing my son. And that is just my own personal choice. So I basically used the fuel of understanding or trying to learn what astral projection is to give me the gusto that I needed in order to make this podcast. Like, I went on just an ADHD fueled deep drive to get those endorphins rolling so that I could come back to you all and give you a more clarified understanding of what astral projection is, etc. So that is what we're going to be talking about today. Because of last week's podcast, I did add like a little interlude at the beginning. If you listened to it originally, that talks about like, oh man, I put my feet in my mouth. And there were a small group of people who reached out to me to be like, listen, you said no one gave you a concrete understanding of what astral projection is. Let me see if we can help. And they did. And one of the things that someone, the resources that someone gave to me to help me understand astral projection in addition to their understanding of it and the way that they could conceptualize it to me was Emily Dexter's podcast. I think it's called Inkwell Alchemist. They do a podcast episode on astral projection, and that also helped to better solidify my understanding on what astral projection is. So if you want to listen to Emily Dexter and her co-host's podcast as well, I think her name is Kristen, don't quote me on it, I'm terrible with names, then please go do that because I have a lot of respect for Emily Dexter. So let's just dive into it.
Why choose a Sleep Number smart bed?
Can I make my side softer?
Can I make my side firmer?
Can we sleep cooler?
Sleep Number does that. Cools up to 8 times faster and lets you choose your ideal comfort on either side, your Sleep Number setting. And now, during our Veterans Day sale, save 40% on the Sleep Number Special Edition smart bed. Limited time. To find a store near you, visit sleepnumber.com.
I'm so sorry I'm late. I was just talking to my sister about protecting abortion rights.
Wait, didn't we already do that in Ohio? We passed issue 1 last year.
I know, by a wide margin too. But now it's up to our state Supreme Court to decide whether they enforce it or ignore it.
Ignore it? Will they really do that?
They will if we don't keep extremists out of the court. But we can protect our rights by electing Justices Donnelly, Stewart, and Forbes.
I don't know if I can remember that. Listen, I can barely remember what I had for breakfast this morning.
Here's a trick. All you have to do is remember, don't stop fighting.
Don't stop fighting. Oh, I get it. DSF. Donnelly Stewart Forbes. I love that.
Tell everyone you know, if you supported issue 1 last year, don't stop fighting. Vote for Donnelly, Stewart, and Forbes.
This message was paid for by Red, Wine, and Blue, a community of women who care about reproductive rights as much as you do.
So, I thought last week that astral projection was the movement of your soul out of your body in order to traverse the astral scape realm, whatever you want to call it, basically the energetic existence or reflection of this world and others in space, time, and outside of space and time. So, that is not true. What astral projection actually is the movement of your consciousness to be outside of your body in order to be energetically present and among the energetic presence. Listen, let's try and break it down. Everything in physicality has energy. whatever frequency those particles of whatever physical thing it is reside at is what's going to dictate what state of matter it is in. When I talk to people and give readings, I talk about how there is a separation between the energy of your body and the energy of your soul. And that the way I'm able to understand how mediumship works is that when the body dies, the soul continues on, following the third law of thermodynamics, which states energy is neither created nor destroyed. It is simply transferred from one form to the next. So our physical bodies turn into dirt, dust, whatever it is. And your souls exist energetically separate from your body, now that your body is dead, in heaven or source, which resides at a higher spiritual frequency. So I like to think that souls exist at frequencies higher than what gases could exist at, because gases, what make up our atmosphere and fizzy, bubbly whatevers, those particles really just bounce around. They got a high freaking frequency and we can't see them. So in my mind, souls must exist at a higher frequency than that. So when tying this into astral projection, your soul does not leave your body, but your consciousness is what escapes. I don't think escapes is really the right word, but astral projection is allowing the soul's consciousness to operate outside of the body's consciousness. So, to put this into terms that you can kind of use to understand or relate what I'm talking about in something that we already know, it's almost like your soul, and in Emily Dexter's podcast, she talks about how our souls have a consciousness and our bodies have a consciousness, which really messed me up. But the way I interpreted what she said to understand it was that what she's saying there is similar, if not the same, to my verbiage of saying you have your soul, your body's energy, and your soul's energy. She just says it a little differently. So when we're astral projection, and the astral projection is allowing the soul's consciousness to operate outside of the consciousness of the body, the way I can understand this in more concrete terms is the difference between the autonomic version of your soul's consciousness and the somatic version of your soul's consciousness. So when we're talking about the human body, physiologically speaking, you have your autonomic nervous system and your somatic nervous system. Your autonomic nervous system is what helps you, or helps your body, to operate all of the involuntary things that are going on. So that's going to be blinking, breathing, food digestion, and all of those things that you do not have to think about in order to exist. Your brain just does it in the background, just firing away, doing its thing. You don't have to think about it. Somatic nervous system is what deals with talking, speech, movement, actually having to think about something in a more forward motion, if you will, pun intended, in order to achieve that action. So if we relate that idea or those understandings about human physiology to our more spiritual understanding of astral projection and its link to your soul's consciousness, I think that there is, like Emily Dexter said, our soul's consciousness and our body's consciousness, i.e. energy versus the soul's energy. So astral projection is being able to separate your soul's consciousness from all of that. Like, it's separating the somatic consciousness of your soul from the autonomic. And I think that your soul is always going to be tied to your body. It's never going to be severed, because that's when you're dead, my guys. So it's basically just moving your consciousness, the thing that you use to perceive the world around you, energetically away from the space of the energetic essence of your body. So the tie is never broken. It's just like, it's like having a thought bubble come out of you. Does that make sense? Only you are the thought bubble and you're making the thought bubble move. Anyways, I hope that helps you understand more so what astral projection is in and of itself, in the bare bones understanding of what it is in relation to what's going on with your energy, because it's not your soul, it's just your soul's consciousness. So let's move on to more interesting things. Apparently with astral projection, you're able to transcend space, time, and dimensions. And that the difference There is apparently a difference between astral projection and sleeping, but they can also coincide. And this is what, I think her name is Krista. I think that's what Krista said in Emily Dexter's, in their podcast, The Alchemist Inkwell. So I talked about how in the last podcast, I was like, I don't understand what the difference is between astral projection. And I talked about remote viewing too. They talk about phasing in their podcast, and Emily and Krista are of the opinion that astral projection is different from lucid dreaming, which is different from remote viewing, which is different from phasing. But in my opinion, from what I know now, I think that all of those fall underneath the umbrella term of astral. It's just like being able to pick them apart for their fine differences in how people are able to understand them. But for me, for whatever reason, if you are of the opinion or a similar opinion of Emily and her co-host, then go for it. If that's what helps you understand and expand your spirituality by being able to better break down and conceptualize astral projection into these other differences, such as remote viewing or lucid dreaming, etc., that is really freaking cool. Go for it. But for me, it's easier just to say, like, all of those things are a form of astral projection, because at its root, it is your soul's consciousness moving throughout space, time, and physicality, just in very interesting ways. So, for example, one of the things, like, when I started thinking about this, now that with the understanding that astral projection is your soul's consciousness existing outside of your physical consciousness or your body's consciousness, absolutely changed everything for me. Because I'm like, okay, so the only thing that you really have to worry about if you're astral projecting is, like, a lot of people talk about how they need to be in, like, a meditative state. So they're, think about, like, it made me think about Avatar The Last Airbender when Aang goes into the spirit realm and, like, no one can wake him up and he's just, like, farting, you know? So the only real danger that you have is your physical danger. So, like, if you choose to astral project and you kind of just, like, tune out to the world and you're meditating, it's like, I don't know, on a bus or something, don't miss your bus stop. Because if you get too far out into the astral in whatever way, shape, or form it is that you're going there for, you could have someone really stinky sit down next to you and just, like, blow farts on you on the bus. Or, like, set yourself up for success with your physical body in the astral. But it's not any different necessarily than, like, if you are talking on the phone and driving, you know? I mean, obviously, 10 and 2, keep your hands on the wheel, but you're talking to someone over, like, the intercom or on speakerphone or with, like, one of those little Bluetooth earbuds, and you're driving and driving and driving, and then all of a sudden you're like, hey, I just got to my destination. But the entire time your head was just listening, your conscious mind was listening to what the people on the telephone and you were talking about. That's like astral projection. Your consciousness shifts into more of a spiritual energetic sense instead of just, like, talking to your mom on the phone. But the entire time your body's on autopilot, because remember, astral projection is shifting your soul's consciousness to exist or outside of your body's consciousness. You just forget that you have to move, eat, whatever, but it's on autopilot. Again, hence the difference, or the use of the analogy of the autonomic versus the somatic nervous system when we're trying to understand the consciousness of the soul versus the consciousness of the body and how they're intertwined. So that is really what you have to worry about when you're, like, astral projecting. However, when I'm talking about how I think astral projection is just an umbrella term for remote viewing, lucid dreaming, etc., let me explain why I think this, because maybe it will either help you be able to better define how these things are or aren't astral projection, or you'll just be like me and be like, oh, it's just an umbrella term and I'm doing this and it is astral projection. Because the other thing I want to talk about is that there seems to be this taboo around astral projection, as you can clearly see from my last podcast, that a lot of people have a very misconstrued understanding of it. And therefore, I think a lot of, I guess gatekeepy is a good word for it, but it's like, How do I know, like, initiation? Like, how do I know that I can astral project? Am I ready? Someone needs to teach me. What's the initiation process? Is it like, do I have to join a group that's going to teach me how to do it? Am I good enough? And I want to talk about that too, because I think that in understanding how astral projection is or could be understood or categorized under remote viewing, lucid dreaming, phasing, which I'm not entirely sure about that one, it takes away some of the stigma, I think, which is why I'm going to explain it that way, to destigmatize the idea of astral projection, because as a medium, I talk to dead people. That is like my brand of mediumship. I really like to talk to people that are alive and then be the intermediary translator between them and their past loved ones or souls and spirits around them. So when I think about this, I talk about this in last week's podcast about how spirit gave me the idea of like, if you were to put your finger in a pond and put it into the water, into the fish's area, that's kind of how they explained how I'm able to channel souls. I always used to say it was more like a telephone call, which it also is, because the souls that I'm talking to 99% of the time are in heaven or spirit. So when I talk to them, they can either choose to pick up the phone or they can choose not to pick up the phone. But I also am starting to think that when I am channeling souls, it could be a form of astral projection. A lot of people have told me that I meditate involuntarily or unknowingly when I'm channeling souls, which I think is a safe thing to say. I'm just not meditating in like the formal sense that you would think about, like being quiet, closing your eyes, thinking certain things. I sort of take my consciousness and I phase it or move it into the energy or space in which souls would reside in heaven, spirit, source, whichever, that they want to talk to me from. Because I don't think that I'm in heaven necessarily. It's just that I'm putting my soul's consciousness out in a way that allows it to mix and mingle within the same energy frequency or astral plane in order to communicate with souls. But I'm doing it while I'm awake and I'm looking at you. Like, learning that astral projection is just the soul's consciousness existing outside of the body's consciousness is like making me rethink mediumship in a completely different way now. You know, because some people want to go to like to the astral plane, and the astral plane is like a whole bunch of different dimensions, etc. And for me, dimensions, just when people use the word dimensions, I think it makes something that is non-physical seem physical, but it's not. Like when people say dimensions, that makes me think about like a physical place that you can go to that we can conceptualize, understand, and it exists in a certain manner. Kind of like if you were going to go to like Pluto, like we know what the surface of Pluto looks like. So therefore I'm going to go to not actually Pluto, but like a dimension. Hence, and it gives it like a almost like a destination feel, like you're going on a vacation or something to like Puerto Rico, you know? So I like to understand dimensions as just being different frequencies of energy. Hence, remember, we talked about this at the beginning of the podcast, everything in our physical world exists at a certain frequency, the atoms and particles that create them, to manifest into what we see them and perceive them as. So like we are solid, liquid, and gases, the table in front of you is a solid, etc. So when we're thinking about different dimensions, it's going to be the frequency of energy that that dimension exists at, which would make it a different dimension. I hope that makes sense. That's just my understanding of it. So I do think that being a medium, channeling the energy of souls that are in different planes of existence would be a form of astral projection. My opinion on that might change. However, that is just something that I wanted to share with you all because I think it's something that is worth chewing on. You know, it's freaking me out. Okay, so continuing on with lucid dreaming, my understanding of lucid dreaming, again, because we're talking about how astral projection is the soul's consciousness existing outside of the body, right? When you're dreaming, that is your subconscious. That is things that you're not in control of. It's something that you're not aware of. That is going to be something that is in your body. So your soul's consciousness is in the subconscious. that is something that is a little bit different. It's much more grounded. However, my understanding of the difference between the subconscious and the superconscious is going to be where you can control your dreams or you can lucid dream. So if we're talking about the superconscious or the state of consciousness in which you can control your dreams, that is going to be a different, I would say that is your soul's consciousness existing outside of your body so that you can exist on a higher frequency. So that would be another sort of category of astral projection. So if you're someone that's lucid dreaming, it could be viewed as astral projection. Again, there are people out there that think that they are completely different, and that is okay. And if you need to use that in order to continue on your spiritual journey or conceptualize astral projection in a way that makes sense to you, go for it. It's also completely cool. Now, when it comes to remote viewing, that's the other thing. I feel like even if I'm not going into heaven necessarily when I'm talking to souls, I just know that the souls are in heaven because they show me aspects of the things around them from whatever intermediary area it is. When it comes to remote viewing, again, when did I talk about this? We talked about, I think it was the Love and Light podcast, where we talk about the soul and how Aristotle believes that there are levels of consciousness, i.e. Soul integration into physicality. And there was plants, animals, and then people in levels of consciousness. So without going back and understanding all of Aristotle's ideas on souls, everything within our physical existence has consciousness because it is a part of the collective. And the collective is a weird, I kind of hate the word collective because it makes me think about like Borgs or something from like, was it Star Trek? I think it's Borgs or Star Trek. It makes me think about Borgs, like that collective on like their big old green and black spaceship and they're scary. But anyways, the collective is just all of the energy of existence, period. Is that a weird thing to say? Plants have souls. Animals have souls. And I've been thinking about the bridge between souls and consciousness and what the correlation between the two could be. And that's not what we're talking about today. But aside from souls, I do think that souls are a form of energy. Everything in our world is a form of energy. The frequency at which those reside dictate what plane of existence they exist in, right? And how. So if we have a table doesn't necessarily have a soul, but I think it does have a consciousness because it is a part of the collective, which is the energy of everything, existence, both physical and non-physical. And if it is existing in our three-dimensional world, the energy of its surroundings, the people, places, animals, whatever, is something that will become incorporated into it, which would help us understand how physical mediumship is a thing. Like for me, like I talk to houses and I don't necessarily understand how that's possible, except for the fact that I'm channeling the energy that is within the house that is not necessarily inherently its own. There is inherently energy associated to a house, but when people live there, animals live there, events take place, that leaves a sort of energetic imprint into the house, which develops its quote unquote consciousness, even though it doesn't have a soul. It's almost like the universe is made of clay when it comes to the non-physical, or not non-physical, the inanimate objects, when we talk about the theory of them having a consciousness. It's like their surroundings and the things that happen to them mold them into something, which is, i.e., their consciousness. So their existence inherently is what allows them to be molded by the energy around them. So when it comes to remote viewing, I don't know. I always thought that I was just channeling the energy. Okay, sorry. Now we're getting back to it. I had to like remember what I was talking about because this is just so crazy for me. So when it comes to remote viewing and astral projection, again, astral projection is the separation of your soul's consciousness from your physical consciousness. So if I'm a medium and I'm channeling the energy or astral projecting my soul's consciousness outside of my body in order to interact with the consciousness of other things, whether that be souls, spiritual beings, animals, or houses. So when it comes to the non-physical or the inanimate things, I don't know why I keep wanting to say non-physical, they're physical, the inanimate objects, they have a consciousness. They may not have a soul, but they have a consciousness. Even if you're just outside and you want to talk or communicate with a tree, you could astral project in order to align your consciousness with the consciousness of the world around you. I.e., if you're trying to target the tree or a tree in front of you, you would be able to move your consciousness into or around the consciousness of the tree. Does that make sense? That's what I'm going here, going for here with my theory. So if you don't think that is astral projection, because the two consciousnesses of, say, the house, the tree, the soul next to you is what constitutes astral projection, because again, you're moving your consciousness out of your body, your body's consciousness, in order to converse, understand, traverse the consciousness of the world around you. Exactly. I'm just like, I'm so messed up after all this stuff, guys. It freaks me out. Okay, so moving on. Astral projection and mental health. If you are trying to use astral projection to escape reality, probably not the best thing. Astral projection should probably be used to find answers and ground yourself in reality, then escape reality. And this also falls under the umbrella idea of, well, it's not even the umbrella idea. As a medium, it is our job to bring peace and clarity by telling people not what they want to know, but what they need to know. And astral projection is also going to fall under those same constraints. So if you are astral projecting, you're not going to be finding what you want to know. Spirit is going to help you understand what you need to know through astral projection. The thing that I wanted to segue within this was that I think it was Krista. Krista said, and Emily in their podcast, that astral projection is your imagination. But your imagination is not something that isn't invalid. It is real. And this, I feel like if you say to someone who is trying to escape reality, they might take this as saying like, oh, the things that aren't real, my imagination is what is going to help me escape and feel better. And I'm not a mental health professional, and I'm not here to tell you anything in a way or a manner like that. I'm just saying from my own personal experience, I don't want people to try and escape reality with spirituality or astral projection, because it's not the way, my guy. Spirituality is supposed to help you understand, again, the things that you need to know, not necessarily things that you want to know. But I really thought that it was beautiful that they said that astral projection is your imagination, but your imagination is something that isn't invalid. It's real, because that made me think about Einstein and the Patreon post that I wrote on Monday of this week, because we do updates every other Monday. So it was my Monday this week. And something I've been learning about in the books that I've been reading is that your imagination is what helps shape your reality. But when we're children, we're told that, you know, your imagination isn't real. It's just make-believe. It's just play pretend. Like, your imaginary friend actually isn't real. But let's talk about imagination as like being manifestation or manifesting. Yes, your imagination isn't real in the sense of it's not tangible, right? That is what I think crushes our hopes and dreams of that childlike wonder that we have when we're little, when the adults are like, your imagination is just your imagination. But it's not. Your imagination, the way you perceive the world around you and the things that aren't even there, help shape what is real in your life. Your imagination is what tailors or helps to tailor your reality, which in my idea is just like manifestation, like thinking about the things that are not yet real, quote unquote, tangible, physical, in order to bring them into your existence. And I just wanted to read like an Einstein quote when it comes to this too, that makes me excited when we talk about the idea of astral projection being your imagination. Albert Einstein says, "Imagination is more important than knowledge. Knowledge is limited. Imagination encircles the world." The other quote he says is, "Imagination is the highest form of research. Knowledge is a map that guides us, while imagination is the territory where we can roam freely and search for answers and opportunities." Now, like, I love it, because a lot of people, I feel like, want to use astral projection not just to escape reality, but to find answers, whether that be answers that they seek for themselves or answers that they seek outside of themselves, such as like history or the past or whatever that may be. And I think it's really beautiful. And if we go back to the idea of astral projection being your imagination, i.e. it's just not physically tangible, not that it's not real, it's just not physically tangible. Some of the things that I find hard to get on board with when it comes to astral projection, and again, I respect Emily Dexter and her co-host immensely for what they do and the way that they do it. However, they talk about like going to different dimensions and fey realms and like the way that they perceive aliens and stuff like that. And that is just something that's very hard for me to conceptualize and feel like on board with. I don't disagree with it. It's just hard for me to understand it. So going back to like the last 3-4 months of podcast stuff, we talk about how the way in which you perceive spiritual energy is going to be unique and individualistic to you, because souls, spirits, etc., cannot show you things without using stuff that you already have in your head. So if you're someone that likes sci-fi novels, if you're someone that likes fairy fiction novels or dragons or time type of books like ancient Rome, etc., Neolithic times, that is going to be how you perceive the astral and the different dimensions. So it's not that it doesn't exist that way, and it's not that people's perceptions of going to an alien dimension where they can talk to certain spiritual beings, or even the way that they perceive certain spiritual beings, does not mean that it's wrong. It just means that that is how you're going to perceive those things. I hope that I'm making that clear. The way that your imagination works, the way that you're going to perceive the astral and the information that spirit is going to give to you, because it's what you need, not necessarily what you want, is going to be tailored to you and given to you in a way that you can conceptualize and understand. So if it is different from someone else, i.e. me, in this sense, because I've talked to so many people that talk about like aliens and being on interstellar planets and all of this other stuff. And it's not that I don't believe them. It's just that it's hard for me to understand stuff like that, at least presented in that way. Does not mean that it's not right. That is how spirit is helping them to understand their reality. I hope that makes sense. For me, if I astral project, I think it's going to be very, very different the way that I conceptualize the experience than, say, other people. Like, for example, if I'm talking to souls, I think that could be a form of astral projection because my consciousness is separating from my body's consciousness in order to connect with the consciousness of another soul or a house or a pet or a plant, etc. So if I want to astral project into the fey realm, I feel like I would conceptualize that very, very differently, much more in like a scientific manner, almost as if you were to put things under a microscope and see like if you were inside the cells of a tree. That might be how I interpret, in an astral projection way, the fey realm, because I think fairies exist in the space in between physical existence of nature. So if I were to astral project and move my consciousness into the space in between physicality, which is where fairies would reside in the natural world, I might conceptualize it differently on my astral journey. So I hope that makes sense. And then someone else will probably, like Emily talks about this one instance where she went into the Fey realm and was in like this like little pub or bar or something. And there was this guy serving her drinks in the Fey realm in her astral projection. And she talks about how his laugh was like lovely. And I love that. It honestly makes me really happy. And I hope if I do astral project, something happens like that. But that is her astral imagination. That is her astral projection journey. And if you have similar ones like that, heck yeah. That's just harder for me to understand. So spirit will show it to me differently. That is just what I wanted to talk about with that. And just the fact that Albert Einstein loves the imagination.
You earned a degree in the behavioral health field because you wanted to make a difference. And you're needed now more than ever. Through the new Great Minds Fellowship Program, recent Ohio graduates may be able to receive as much as $20,000 in student loan support when working full-time at a community behavioral health center. Apply before November 15th. To learn more about program eligibility, visit highered.ohio.gov. That's highered.ohio.gov.
Now we're moving on to the idea of anyone can astral project. Now I talked about at the beginning of this how the only real harm that could come to you from astral projection is like you just got to make sure that you remember where your physical body is. Don't just like lay down on a busway like a subway station on like the middle of nowhere so that someone can come over and like spook you. Don't do that. Do it in a safe space. For example, if I am astral projection, when I'm talking to souls, I'm sitting in a chair upright, not like on the ground in the forest somewhere. Anyways, the other thing that I want to bring to your attention too is protecting your soul's consciousness. If you're traveling through the astral, this was something that was talked about in Emily Dexter's podcast, where you can ask your spirit guides for protection, because there are entities that exist within the astral that can just try to bully you, I guess. But that, I think, goes into and under the idea of faith and protection. So however you feel that you need to protect yourself or not, because like there are mediums out there that don't believe that demons exist at all, which is a valid interpretation, because if you 100% don't believe that demons exist, they're not going to bother you. It's that type of protection. So however you feel you need to spiritually protect yourself is going to be valid. And whatever relationship you have with your spirit guides, that is going to dictate how you would go about that. For me, I always just, sometimes I consciously ask my spirit guides for protection or guidance in a situation, like if we're going on a ghost hunt. But honestly, I feel like that's just a given between our relationship. So it's not something that I feel like I have to consciously do all the time. It just is there. So if you have certain things that you would want to do, go for it. And if not, that's also okay. Whatever it is that you use to protect yourself, whether it's spells, your mind over matter, etc. But I do want to talk about how everyone can astral project. So if you have psychic abilities and you are like an animal communicator or someone that can communicate with souls or plants, or you're a physical medium where you're talking to like chairs, the chair is telling you who sat in them like an hour ago and you were right. If that is astral projection, then you are already astral projecting and you didn't even know. If you're someone that lucid dreams, under my standards, you're already astral projecting and you didn't even know. Some people do talk about how you can astral project when you are asleep. However, I have also heard the caveat of if you are astral projecting when you're sleeping, then you are not going to necessarily remember what it is that you are astral projecting about. So it's going to be more of like, you know how when we're dreaming in our subconscious, our brain will use that to try and help rationalize things around us in a really, really silly way. And then you wake up and you don't really remember it, but your brain is working to try and solve problems, even if you only remember pieces and parts of it. That, I think, would be a good way to conceptualize how astral projection while you're sleeping is happening. However, I don't think that you have to be sleeping in order to astral project, because I've also heard that people that sleep when they're astral projecting don't remember anything. And for me, I've heard people say, like, I can only astral project when I'm sleeping. And then people will be like, okay, well, what did you do in the astral? And like, I don't know. I was sleeping. It's not for me to know. And I'm just like, wait, that doesn't make any sense. That's like the Schrodinger's cat of astral projecting. Like, okay, we know it's in the box and we know that there's a bomb in the box, but is the cat alive or is the cat dead? Because at the same time, the cat is alive and it's also dead. So it's like, okay, you were astral projecting, but then you tell us that you don't know what you astral projected about and you can only do it when you're sleeping. I think it's like a Schrodinger's cat of astral projection. I think it's interesting. Like, don't think that just because you only feel like you can astral project when you're dreaming and then hence never remember anything doesn't mean that you can't astral project and then remember things. I think that people who want to astral project but are sort of within their own limitations of it, not the limitations people are, like, your own things that are limiting you are what keeping you from feeling like you can astral project without being asleep and actually remembering things. It could be a self-confidence thing. So don't let your own perceived limitations hinder you. Now, I know that might have just sounded really confusing, so I want to clarify the two sort of concepts that I touched upon there. So when it comes to astral projection while you're sleeping and not remembering things, I think that those things are related to, one, the way in which people perceive how they have to astral project, which is like sort of how people think they have to meditate, which I've learned in relation to meditation. Meditation for everyone is going to be a little bit different in how they do it. For me, the traditional sense of meditation is not my favorite. I don't think it works the best for me. So the way in which I meditate or get my body and my mind in a state in which I can receive spiritual information is through going for hikes, washing the dishes, walking my dog, things like that. Sometimes people will receive enlightening information or spiritual information when they are vacuuming or cleaning their house, whatever that is for you, taking a bubble bath, that would be a form of meditation. So when it comes to astral projection, some people talk about how they're able to get into quote unquote the astral by laying down, by focusing on sleeping. But then when they're in that in-between of conscious awakeness and then almost falling into the subconscious of being asleep, they are able to separate that while still keeping their consciousness awake. And then that is what allows the sort of astral projection process to happen, or not process. I mean, that's just like layman's terms. Allowing your consciousness, your soul's consciousness, to split from your body's consciousness in order to keep aware of your surroundings, but in a spiritual, energetic way. So when I talk about sleeping and astral projection, I just think that sometimes people feel that they need to do that, which is what works for them and is completely okay, in order to astral project. But then because there's this taboo around the idea of who can astral project, how it works, etc., they will just put themselves under the category of, I believe I can astral project because that's what's helping them with their confidence in it in that moment, in that time. But then they're not confident enough in their abilities and their skills to say, well, I don't remember because I'm sleeping to astral project, but I am astral projecting and that's just how it works for me. So I'm not going to remember anything. Which, if that's how it works, that's also valid, because if that is a portion of your astral projection, like, I think that sometimes spirit has things that are hard for us to understand or conceptualize, and it's not, spirit has lessons, has ideas and concepts that they need to share with us in order to help with our spiritual and personal growth. And just like how your subconscious helps you to process things that are happening in your everyday life, whether that be emotionally, physically, mentally, etc., if you're astral projecting in this way, where it's almost like you're dreaming but don't remember, i.e. like a subconsciousness of your brain trying to help you process the things around you in a more gentle way, because it might be a really hard dream, but if you don't remember it, I feel like you're still getting that lesson because it's in the background of your brain rewiring or mulling over the things that you've been thinking about in your subconscious. So just because you don't remember a dream doesn't mean that your brain and yourself aren't benefiting from sleeping and experiencing those dreams in the subconscious. Same thing with astral projection of when you say that you astral project when you sleep, but when you wake up, you don't remember. I think that falls under the idea or the category of spirit is helping you understand what you need to know, not necessarily what you want to know. So if you're processing or they're helping you process some bigger spiritual life lessons, whatever they may be, it might fall under the category of that, of you still are learning lessons, and just because you don't remember them doesn't negate from the importance and the fact that they did happen. Just because you didn't remember a dream doesn't mean that your subconscious isn't dreaming. Just because you don't remember astral projection, because the form in which you like to go about that process is while you are asleep, does not mean that you're not astral projecting. However, I do think if you're dreaming, astral projection doesn't fall underneath that sort of idea or way of astral projection in which your spirit guides and the spirit around you are going to help you in that manner. I do think that it could be linked to the unconfidence in themselves that someone has in their ability to astral project. They want to astral project, but because they might feel that it is this guarded thing that only certain people can do, they're going to help boost their confidence by telling themselves, I astral project, I just don't remember. I think you astral project, and I think you can remember because you can astral project, you are astral projecting, and you can do it and remember things. That is that's what I was trying to say in that little section, and I want to be able to make sure that you understand clearly what I'm talking about when it's astral projection versus not remembering, because souls, spirit, your spirit guides need to convey lessons to you in a more gentle way while you're still benefiting from that experience versus the Schrodinger's cat of astral projection, because you may be unconfident in your own capabilities in astral projection and you need to sort of like take the cat out of the box and be like, I can astral project and I can remember because you can. So moving on. Now, the next thing I want to talk about is that you can't necessarily control astral projection. Just like I said, how you're going to be given what you need to know, not necessarily what you want to know. I think that goes into like, what was it? That secret file that I talked about last week that the government came out, Project Gateway, I think. I think it was the Gateway Project or something. But the disclosed or the files from the government that talk about how they were trying to use astral projection in a military or, yeah, military way. And then like one of the pages is lost and yada, yada, yada. I think that's why astral projection could not be used in a military way, because you can't just use it to do whatever you want. You can't spy on people. You can't find their secrets. You can't try to like diabolically devise plans against people or try to win your way above someone else. That's not how it works. You're probably supposed to get peace and clarity from it and understanding, just like any other sort of spiritual thing that you're going to be doing, what spirituality brings you. And spirit is going to give you what you need to know, not what you want to know. So if you are trying to astral project and you feel like, okay, I am going to try and go to this place in time, it's probably going to be hard the first couple times, especially if your spirit guides, who are obviously going to be helping you through this journey in one way or another. And that's just my own personal opinion. I think that your spirit guides help you to channel energy. I have talked about this before, but the way I equate your spirit guides is they are like the phone operators to your psychic abilities. So if you're going to try to channel spiritual energy or astral project, they're going to be the ones that sort of drive the machine a little bit in order to help you. Hence why they're also going to help you understand your abilities, et cetera, et cetera. So when it comes to astral projecting, I think there's going to be limitations maybe that your spirit guides put on you because you have to be in a certain mindset in order to go to certain places, et cetera, et cetera. So they're going to help drive that and give you the training wheels before anything else like really, really happens. And they're like, you can go on without me, quote unquote, more proverbially than anything else. But for example, I tried astral projecting because Emily talks about in her podcast how it's fun to try and astral project with other people because then you get validation of where it was that you went with someone else because they'll notice things in the astral surroundings that you also noticed. And I guess a good way to do this is to astral project with a group of your friends or try to astral project and then write down your things that happened, the stuff that you noticed, et cetera, et cetera. So when everyone comes back, you write everything down and it's not just like you say something and then someone just agrees with you. Like they already wrote it down. So you can't like, you can't false statement it. So I tried doing this and the thing that freaked me out was when I felt like I was relaxing my soul's consciousness in a similar way that I do when I'm channeling souls, but trying to do it in a way where I was transcending space and time. Because again, astral projection, I guess you can use to go back to certain times in space and time. Like you are going, you're energetically going to be able to exist outside of the physical stream of time. And when that happened, I was like, okay, I don't have any expectations, spirit. Let me just see where this goes. And for whatever reason, from the surroundings, I looked like I was walking down a road during like ancient Roman times because there was someone from what I would perceive based on the way that they were dressed, the Roman military with a shield walking in front of me. And I was like, this is weird. but I couldn't go any farther than that. I couldn't walk anywhere else. I just knew that I was like in the desert or somewhere where it was hot because the landscape around us was all just like brown dirt and we were on like a brown dirt trail and there might have been like a sandstone looking building to the right of me. And then that person that was wearing like a red skirt with a shield on their arm in front of me. And I couldn't go any farther than that. So I was like, okay, I guess that's like the first astral projection thing that I was doing. So then I tried to do it with my friend. I called my friend and I was like, listen. I just tried to astral project to your house. Sorry, I didn't ask. That's maybe a little intrusive of me. And they were like, no, it's fine. So I asked them, I was like, okay, are you sitting on your front porch? And they were like, yes. And I was like, ooh, you are? And I asked a couple other questions that were correct. But then the one thing that I couldn't see was the type of chair that they were sitting in. And I was like, are you sitting in a rocking chair that looks like it's like a honey oak shellacked rocking chair? And they're like, no, but our front porch has had a lot of rocking chairs. And that might have been one in a different time. So I'm like, well, how am I like, if I am astral projecting, why is it not correct? Because I see you sitting in the rocking chair, but like you're saying that it's white and I'm seeing a yellow one. And the way that I got information was, you know, when the ocean currents run in from one another, like that one place in the world where there's salt water and then there's fresh water. And then you have the current that's like running directionally, like front to back as well. They made me spirit, I assume, to understand this. They were like, if you're in the stream of time, because that's why they were showing me water. They tried to equate it this way. They're like, if you're astral projecting, you sort of have to fine tune what space and time you want to be with. And that's going to be something that you're going to have to learn how to do energetically, because again, your soul's consciousness is a form of the energy associated to you. So if you're going to try and transcend space and time to see your friend, I think what I was seeing was where they are now, but the signals were getting mixed up of what rocking chair it was at what space and time, because the timelines were sort of shifting together or washing over me from all four directions instead of just standing within one of them, which would be the present. I hope that makes sense. So those are my trials in astral projection as well. And I just think it's interesting. I don't know.
I'm so sorry I'm late. I was just talking to my sister about protecting abortion rights.
Wait, didn't we already do that in Ohio? We passed issue one last year.
I know, by a wide margin too. But now it's up to our state Supreme Court to decide whether they enforce it or ignore it.
Ignore it? Will they really do that?
They will if we don't keep extremists out of the court. But we can protect our rights by electing Justices Donnelly, Stewart, and Forbes.
I don't know if I can remember that. Listen, I can barely remember what I had for breakfast this morning.
Here's a trick. All you have to do is remember, don't stop fighting.
Don't Stop Fighting. Oh, I get it. DSF, Donnelly Stewart Forbes. I love that.
Tell everyone you know, if you supported Issue 1 last year, don't stop fighting. Vote for Donnelly, Stewart, and Forbes.
This message was paid for by Red, Wine, and Blue, a community of women who care about reproductive rights as much as you do.
So, that is everything that I have to say about astral projecting, I think. I think I went through all of my notes, and I hope that I was able to enlighten you with my new understanding, my ADHD endeavor into understanding to the best of my ability astral projection and how I can conceptualize it to you all so that you can take whatever you'd like from this podcast and apply it to your own spiritual journey. And if you don't like anything that I'm saying, that's fine too. I just appreciate you listening. You don't have to agree with all of it. Because again, I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to kind of like how Einstein said, like, knowledge is a map, but the imagination is what helps you create your own ideas and come to your own conclusions. I don't want to be the map. I just want to be something that adds, well, yeah, I guess I would be the map. And you have your own imagination that is going to shape your own spiritual journey. And I think that's a beautiful thing. So thank you all for listening to this Sunday's podcast. I hope you enjoyed it. If you would like a reading, you can go down to the link in the show notes. I know I have availability for November. I think I still have a couple days left in October whenever this podcast comes out. Possibly, maybe not, because it'll come out in a couple of days. But I know I have availability for November. And if I don't talk to all of you on social media or anything like that, maybe in the comments, happy Halloween. I'm excited. Oak's going to be Pooh Bear. He picked out the costume. I'll talk about it later in another life update. And if you want the spiritual and more in-depth life updates that I do give, go check out Patreon down below, because I give life updates every other Monday. So thank you all so much for listening, and I hope you have a lovely Halloween, Sunday, rest of your week, and happy astral traveling. Peace.